Blog Talk Radio.
Allegheny Center Alliance Church is part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance organization, so missions is really our middle name. Today we're going to talk to someone who at a later stage of life believes God is calling him out to the mission field, but it's not that simple. It's not just a matter of going, it's a matter of preparing to go. So stay tuned. You may learn something in the next 20 minutes about missions at Allegheny Center Alliance Church.
This is the ACAC Radio Network, and welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, a vibrant urban congregation located in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This program will focus on the latest emphasis at ACAC known as Expanded Influence, especially the three C's of communication, campus expansion, and church planting. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet Radio Land. We do have an interesting show and a good friend of mine who is our guest today, Doug Sprague, longtime member of Allegheny Center Alliance Church. Doug, welcome to Ministry Beat.
Good morning, John. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. We've done more than a few of these, and it's good to have you back. But I got you just under the deadline. Tell our listeners a little bit about what's happening in your life in the next 24 hours.
Well, you know, one of the things that you and I share, John, is we don't like to let the grass grow underneath our feet. And tomorrow afternoon, I will be on an airplane to France. I'm going to have 9 months of intensive, immersive French language study. I'm going to revert to full-time student. I'm going to be living with a host family. And my goal is to come back at as high of a level as I can manage in 9 weeks, so that I can take my advanced beginner French into more of an intermediate level and maybe have some conversations here and continue to improve. Mm-hmm. I've really struggled over the last 2 years with learning French in America. I'm not the sit at a desk in front of a computer type of learner. I need to be interacting with people, and this is going to give me a great jump start. The reason for this is my work with Bongolo Hospital in French-speaking Africa, and there's not a lot of English in the jungle, and French is the national language throughout most of the western central part of Africa.
Mm-hmm. And so this is a 9-week program you're going to, and so you'll be back in time for the holidays?
Right before Thanksgiving. Mom's happy about
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. And so so why the need for French? How did all this emerge?
Wow. Well, I'm going to answer a different question first, and then I'll answer that if you don't mind. People are asking me, why just go for 9 weeks? We send missionaries for 1 year of language preparation before they actually hit the field and start their work. The reason is because my call is actually a little bit different than your typical missionary. And it's one of the things I love about Allegheny Center Alliance Church and the CMA is they're okay with looking outside the box. And my role, my call is to be Bongolo Hospital's quote-unquote ambassador or advocate, cheerleader, storyteller, fundraiser. And that means a lot of time traveling here, probably in French-speaking Africa, French-speaking Europe. And I need taking teams with me to Bongolo, such as the team that just came back from ACAC, and being able to host them and communicate with the locals so that the ministry team at Bongolo continue on in their work when I'm involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's very awkward to get translators because there's just not much mm-hmm. English that's spoken. And it's hard to find English-speaking translators.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did all this start? Man, Pastor Blaine Workman, who led the team mm-hmm. that just came back, has been a huge fan of Bongolo Hospital ever since ACAC started the place. We actually sent the first surgeon and his wife, Dr. David Thompson, to found the hospital. And ACAC has been a champion for them ever since, and really in the last couple of years, since God's brought me into the mix, our interest as a church, as a congregation, has really gone up because they've never had legs and arms before to do some of the things that they've wanted to do to support the hospital. And I'm really grateful for the partnership that's developed and is still developing with ACAC, with the financial support that they've given me as I've explored this call and lived at Bungalow for 3 months out of the last couple of years.
Tell us about Bungalow. What you've alluded to hospital and such. Tell us what's going on there, who's there, and maybe give us a little more specifics on what right now at least you understand when you eventually get there that your role will be.
Thanks. Where to start? Bungalow Hospital is, by American standards, a tiny little outpost hospital. By African standards, by Gabonese standards, it's one of the largest and best hospitals in the country. And when you see pictures of their compound, it's a sprawling quarter-mile square area of one and two, I think there's one three-story building, that have been built over the last 40 years as needs have changed. And so you put that into context with what you think of as an American hospital with air conditioning and services and cafeterias and people who clean and people who take care of patients beyond the basic nursing staff. They just don't have that in Africa. And it's very, very much country medicine done at a first world standard in the middle of nowhere. Bungalow is 9 hours away from the capital city of Libreville. It's deep in the jungle, and there's really no other good health care anywhere nearby. People travel for days at times to come to Bungalow for care. The thing that always amazes me is that on a staff of 15 Americans, about half of them are doctors, and a staff of about 100 Gabonese full and part-time people, they manage to treat over 40,000 sick people a year. Women, children, surgical candidates, people with sore throats and broken arms and things like that. But the more significant statistic, as far as I'm concerned, is that between 5 and 10 people a day become Christians there. It's a missionary hospital, John. It's not just a UPMC-style medical facility. Everybody that comes there hears the gospel. Whether they're listening or not, they have the opportunity to receive Christ, to learn more about Christianity, to hear how Christianity is so different from the jungle, tribal, ancestor, demon worship that's so common still. We think about witch doctors as being this crazy mythical thing, but it's real over there. Demon worship, ancestor worship is a normal thing. And there are very, very dark parts of Gabon where Christians are persecuted. Fortunately, it doesn't happen a lot, but it's there. And there's a real enemy and there's real opposition. And Bungalow is this amazing shining light in the midst of all this darkness.
How do you're not a doctor. Why are you going? What do you think you're going to be able to contribute, and how did this realization that you had something to contribute come about?
That's a great question. They will let me into the operating room, but they told me not to touch anything. So that's as close to being a doctor as I've ever been. The bottom line is that when I used to think of missionaries, I would always think of the traditional church planter, the husband and wife that sells everything and goes to seminary and is prepared and goes overseas for the rest of their lives, or a doctor who is abroad for a certain period of time treating people. What I never really considered is that there is a tremendous need and opportunity for support people. There's a pilot who's one of my good friends. He's a missionary pilot. The head of maintenance is a retired GM auto worker who went out and takes care of the physical plant and helps them build new infrastructure things and make updates to that. There's a nursing school. There's teachers. There's construction workers that come out on a regular basis. And when I was speaking with Pastor Blaine about 2 years ago, he made it really clear that my non-medical, theological background is in great need, and God really opened my eyes to the fact that I can help regardless of whether I think I'm qualified. God's called me. He's empowered me. He's made all of this crazy, eclectic, entrepreneurial life stuff that I've gone through be perfect for what Bungalow Hospital needs.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said, you know, they don't let you in the operating room, but you have written a book, and it chronicles your first journey and stay at Bungalow Hospital. But you told a story about you were close by in the right place at the right time, and one of the doctors called upon you. You responded. Tell us that story about the mother and her baby.
So that first trip, I was there for 2 months, and the main reason I went was to begin to test the call that I was sensing from God to go into this missionary work. And my assignment was to take over for the head of maintenance for about a month of the 2 months that I was at Bungalow to give him and his wife a much-needed vacation. And as part of that training, I needed to learn how they did things and learn to manage the 8 Gabonese men that are on the staff. So we were clearing out some debris from the main quad area that all the patients gather at when they in the morning, and then they wait throughout the day for medical care. And the obstetrics doctor, the baby doctor, Dr. Elizabeth Elliott, we call her Izzy, approached me, and I really hadn't talked with her in the 4 weeks I'd already been there. And she walks up, and I expected her to say, "Hi, Doug." And instead she says, "Have I ever asked you what your blood type is?" Which is the first time I've ever been asked that question under any circumstances. And I answered, and I said, "What's going on?" And she said, "Well, we have an emergency situation where a mom is ready to give birth, and she needs to have a cesarean section in order to deliver her child. However, she's incredibly sick. She needs a blood transfer, and if it doesn't happen nearly immediately, both she and the baby are going to die. And even with a blood transfusion, there's a chance that she and the baby won't make it." And so my mind was just absolutely blown, John. I mean, there I am. I'm dirty. I'm wet. It had been raining that day because I was there during the rainy season. And and God really opened my eyes to the personal level of impact that one person can make. And to make a long story short, I ended up donating blood. There's probably 5 stories inside of there. I had the opportunity to be in the operating room while the baby was being delivered during the surgery. Izzy asked me to pray at the beginning of the operation, which was a real, real surprise and a pleasant surprise. And I watched my blood go into this mom, and praise God, both she and the baby lived and recovered. The baby was in NICU for about 4 or 5 weeks after I left. And they went home to their village and are living a normal life at this point. And it's such a personal impact to know that my blood, donating my blood saved 2 specific people, and I know who they are. When I donate blood any place else, it goes into a blood bank. And I've never actually considered what happens to blood after it's donated. I guess it's used.
Right.
I hope it's used. But this is just so much more personal. And for me, that was the turning point for God saying, "Doug, I want you involved with this." This was my aha moment, my breakthrough that I had been praying through for the four or five weeks prior to this experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, where can folks get your book and give us a short synopsis and the title and what it's like and where they can get it?
Well, I want to give you a personal shout out because, John, you're my publisher, and you helped me to get it from my rough draft into final version and published, and I thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a great project. I enjoyed working on it.
Well, I love what you're doing with Urban Press and helping get people's stories out there that otherwise wouldn't be told, like mine.
Thank you.
So so my book is called Go, A Journey of Surrender and Trust, and it's available by that title on Amazon Kindle. It's a hard copy. You can buy it directly from Amazon. It's better for Bungalow Hospital if you buy it from either my website or from me personally, because we get such a tiny fraction of the money from Amazon, but we get $7 or $8 if you buy it directly. And the book is essentially a learning experience journal that I kept while I was there. I tell the backstory, and then I launch into some individual accounts, like the blood donation story that we just talked about, and I I have lessons learned and questions to consider at the back of each one of those stories that helped me think about them differently and maybe would help a reader to think about their calling and their life experiences perhaps from a different perspective. And so it's not just a memoir or a storytelling book. It's an opportunity to learn and grow.
Yeah. And what's your website?
It's the nonprofit organization agapeafricafund.org.
Spell agape. Yep, go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry, I stepped on it.
A-G-A-P-E. Which is the Greek word for unconditional love. And it's agapeafricafund.org. And that's a 501c3 organization that I established about this time last year to support special projects for Bungalow Hospital as well as to fundraise for my own missionary needs. In fact, the way I'm able to go to France for 2 months is because of fundraising that I've done and the generous donation of people that believe in this work and want to have a personal impact, kind of like the impact I had when I gave blood. The people that are supporting me want to have a live, personal, one-to-one impact someplace else in the world.
Yeah, and you've already raised some money for Bungalow causes. I think, was it an X-ray machine, or what did you raise money for?
Well, the two biggest successes right now are we raised about $1,500 to ship a modern X-ray machine over that was donated by a chiropractor friend of mine, Dr. Shannon Dieroff, in the North Hills of Pittsburgh. And most recently, we funded the technology for the next generation of internet capabilities. John, their internet was currently kind of like how ours was 10 or 15 years ago. There was no such thing as streaming video. You can't listen to music online. You can't watch YouTube or Facebook videos or anything like that. Now, capable of doing that. It's not as good as we have it here, but it's light years better and more consistent than what they had. And I'm really proud that we were able to fund that work.
Yes, you should be. And Doug, in a couple of minutes, what are you expecting? You know, you leave tomorrow. What are you anticipating until the next time we talk when you're back home? What are the next 9 weeks going to be like?
John, they're going to be really challenging. I love the definition of adventure that's in the second Jurassic Park movie, and it's a lot of running and screaming. And I think that's, in a non-life-threatening way, that's kind of what my next 9 weeks are going to be like. It's going to be full immersion into French. I know very little. I'm going to try to use Google Translate as little as possible. I know it's going to be exhausting and rewarding all at the same time. I'm also anticipating God to help me create relationships with people in France and maybe other parts in Europe who may never have thought about Christianity. First of all, France is a pre-Christian country at this point. I see there being evangelistic opportunities, and also to create awareness around Bungalow Hospital, and I'm intending to make relationships that may turn into longer-term partnering relationships. I don't know what that might be at this point. But God's already started opening doors in France and possibly in Belgium as well. So we'll see.
Yeah.
A prayer request is I'm incredibly stressed right now. I've got 3 or 4 days worth of things I'd like to get done in the next 18 hours. Stuff's going to have to fall by the wayside. And I just pray that I get enough done within the time before I have to head to the airport.
Yeah, well, let's pray now, and I thank you for making time to give us this quick update, and that's a part of making the transition, is tying up ends and anticipating what you think you're going to need. But, Father, we thank you for Doug's commitment to you and to your kingdom and to our church and to the people at Bungalow, both French-speaking and English missionaries. And now, as you did for Joshua and caused the sons to stand still, may you cause the same thing to happen for Doug, that tomorrow when he gets on the plane, he will marvel at everything that you helped him accomplish and achieve and wrap up and do. And even though he's busy and stressed, Lord, speak to him even at the last minute about little things that he may want to take with him or to anticipate for where he will be. Just and through it all, just give him great peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. John, thank you so much. Thank you, ACAC, for your ongoing and future support of Bungalow Hospital and how God is using me there. And blessings on you and your family, John. Thanks again.
Thank you. And again, AgapeAfricaFund.com?
.org.
Is that correct? .org. AgapeAfricaFund.org. That's how we can stay in touch with Doug. That's how we can see what's going on with him. And I promise we'll give you an update when he returns. Thanks, Doug. God bless you. I'm going to let you go.
Thanks, John. God bless.
Bye-bye. All right, there you have it, little vignette, little window into what it's like to make a decision to go, what it's like to get ready to go. Please be praying for Doug. Please be praying for even the missionary work that we do at ACAC that you may not be aware of. Next month is Missions Month, October, so you'll be hearing a lot more about it. But in the meantime, John Stanko signing off for Ministry Beat. We'll be back again next week with more information and more inspiration about what's going on at ACAC. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to this edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again soon on the ACAC Internet Radio for more insight into and information about the Expanded Influence Initiative at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.acacreach.com. If you have any questions concerning Expanded Influence or with ideas for future shows, you can write John at john.stanko@acac.net. JOHN.STANKO. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.